Now we'll hear about another looming bankruptcy. This time it's not a company that's in trouble, it's an entire country that's at risk. Iceland's banks have debts that add up to much more than the country's entire economy. The government had to rush in to take over many of those banks and ask Russia for a $5 billion loan. Tom Braithwaite is a reporter for the Financial Times in Reykjavik, Iceland's capital. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Iceland generally is considered to have a very developed economy, so how did it get into this extreme mess?
Well, essentially, debt. I mean, that's what's powered the economy over the last decade, and it's brought tremendous wealth. Icelanders are the fifth richest nation in terms of GDP per capita in the world. Indeed, if you look around, the amount of brand new four-wheel drives plowing through the streets is quite impressive, but it's all fueled by debt. Too much debt from the banks that have funded all this, and too much debt from consumers. And now with the liquidity crunch across the world, it's payback time and there's a problem.
You know, I think we're all familiar with what happens when a company declares bankruptcy. But if Iceland were to declare bankruptcy, an entire country, what would that mean? What happens?
Well, it's a good question. We're in slightly uncharted territory. I mean, the government said yesterday that it will not default on any bonds that it's issued. And it has taken steps to nationalize most of the banks. So the three big banks that powered this boom, two of them have already been taken over. It doesn't look like Iceland itself is going to go bankrupt, although that is what the Prime Minister has effectively threatened the country with if it doesn't bow to these emergency powers that he's enacted. Iceland does have some things going in its favour. It's a strong producer of fish, for example. It's a big favour of tourists. So there are many ways in which this economy of a country that is only 300,000 people and get foreign exchange in.
Well, tell me about how these problems in Iceland connect with problems that we're seeing in other parts of the world, in the U.S. and elsewhere in Europe, for example.
Well, effectively, as the same problem has affected U.S. banks and U.K. banks and banks all around the world, banks effectively are not lending to each other. And when they are doing so, they're doing so at high interest rates. So Iceland's banks, which are heavily indebted, just essentially cannot get the short-term funding to continue in business. And that's why the government has seized control of two of the big three. And that's why the government itself needs a currency from Russia to support its plunging currency. And it's the sort of problem we've seen all over the world, yet in one sense magnified because it threatens to take down the whole country. And one said much smaller, of course, because we're talking about a fairly small island here.
Why would Iceland go to Russia for help?
Well, it says because it turned to its traditional friends, they didn't help. So I think there's a lot of anger here. The Prime Minister will not name the countries that turned him down, but they're certainly thought to include Britain, Europe, and possibly the US.
And in fact, this morning we heard that the British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, says the UK will take legal action against Iceland to recoup lost savings.
Well, that's right. There's a lot of savers in the UK have put money into these very high interest rate accounts that the Icelandic banks have been offering. It turns out they were high interest for a reason, and that's because they were very risky. As the banks have been seized by the government, the foreign arms have essentially been cut off and left to die. So there's a lot of UK savers worried they may be out of pocket. The British government says they will back them, but in turn, it may sue the Icelandic government.
Tom Braithwaite is a reporter for the Financial Times, and we reached him in Reykjavik, Iceland. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.